from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine. But they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America, sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America, sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
And I'm sure you've heard this before in LGBT circles, that more masculine presenting men have more access. How different would it be if you were quote unquote more feminine?
It's tough for me to know, right? Because I just am what I am. And, you know, there's going to be a lot. That's why I can't even read the LGBT media anymore, because it's all too gay, not gay enough, wrong kind of gay. Like, geez, all right. All I know is that life became a lot easier when I just started allowing myself to be myself, and I'll let other people write up whether I'm to this or to that.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It is upside down day here. It's bizarre. Justin Trudeau comes out yesterday. He has caught in his past, been in both, I guess, blackface and brownface. Now we are distinguishing the two. And Pete Buttigieg is being asked if he doesn't get the flack that gay people get because he's not more effeminate. And he's like, but I'm gay. So I think that pretty much just means, I'm like, can't we mind our own business?
We have to go farther and farther down the rabbit hole.
What does it matter? And also, I am A-okay if people want to do something, if people feel that they want to make a decision to behave a certain way, and if all the at the end of the whole ordeal, whatever they choose to do, if that just shows me that that person's an idiot, I'm glad I know now. It's like, I'm okay with letting you open your mouth and show me how much of a fool you are. I don't want anyone to regulate that out of you know, decreasing significantly the amount of time that I have to invest in figuring out that you're a doofus. I'm totally okay with that. So that's the First Amendment, folks. And I think that a lot of this stuff falls under that. Apparently, Justin Trudeau is going to be speaking soon. Is that correct? So his warrants is a statement.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to be speaking. Yeah, soon.
He's going to speak soon. So we'll get to that when we do. But I can't wait to talk.
Boom, boom. Oh, sorry. I don't know. We're supposed to do
no,
that.
No, yeah, you can do it. Tyrus?
I can?
Yeah, go ahead. Do it.
All right.
What do you got?
Because we don't have...
We are still,
explain why, yeah.
We're still trying to reacquire a lot of the things that we have not had access to, including all of our intros. Right.
So we can't play Tyrus's intro.
So Tony's going to do it for
so
us.
So I'll do it. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Nuff
said.
It's perfect.
How was that, Tyrus? Are you okay with that?
You know what? I think we can just go forward. We'll just... Hey, it's Tyrus Works, but the effort was phenomenal.
I love it. Well, Tyrus, as y'all know, is a Fox News contributor and also host of Fox Nation's Nuff Said. Tyrus, thanks for coming on with us today. Are you following this Justin Trudeau story, like, with bated breath?
No, because pretty much like everything else in Canada, I really don't care about it. So,
Even if it's brown face in Canada, that doesn't bother you?
You know,
that doesn't make you want to turn tables over?
Only Canada would try to clean it up. It wasn't blackface, it was brown face. Oh, well, that's different. And if he had yellow face on, that was not as quite as bad. And maybe if he had peach face on, he's insulting Irish people. Like, if you're making fun of another race by putting paint on your face, it is what it is. You can try to dumb it down, but it is what it is. I really just don't care if that's who he is, if that's who they voted for in office over there. Canada always kind of has this we're so much more enlightened than America, but the more and more we find out, they're not. They have this, a lot of issues that we have. It's just they're polite about it, you know. Yeah. And he's trying to be polite about it. Well, it was brown face and like whatever. Were you like, what was your, if that's, are you sorry for what you did? Are you sorry you got caught? I mean, those kind of things. But again, I just
wonder why we don't invest much time in understanding anybody's intention. I think that people can make bad decisions out of ignorance, and I think that we need to afford people the opportunity to learn from that lesson and still think, allow them to go about their lives.
I don't think you should lose your entire career and life because you did what you thought something was funny, or you made a mistake. And even if it's the most, let's take the most heinous side of it. Let's say Justin Trudeau is a raging racist who hates brown people, and to show his hate around his friends, he painted his face brown and did shitty impressions. Did bad impressions all night. So let's say that happened. Does that mean he's forever, the rest of his life, a rotten person, or he just made a poor choice, or he was just being honest in his choice? If it was over here in America, I would be like, that's what he chose to do around his friends. Like, it's, we need to stop being so sensitive. We need to stop acting like he planted a dirty bomb in New York City. He wore, and this is coming from a black man. I'm telling you, like, I don't care what he did it or he didn't, or the fact that they're bringing it out. When did this, I don't remember exactly, was this something that happened like years ago?
2001 is the photo of one of them. Yeah.
Okay, I think he's matured since then.
Yeah.
Is it something he does every year? Is it something that he wants to come out and he wants to do his State of the Canadian addresses in? I mean, if
I hope
you know
not.
What I'm saying? Like, if that's where he's at, then, you know, whatever. It's your world, bro. Like, it's not mine. I don't care. It's something that happened 20 years ago just about. Get over it.
What do you think, Tyrus, what do you think about the cancel culture? It's kind of something that we've been talking about here in the last couple weeks, a little bit more than I think we have in the past, where we were an outraged society, perpetually completely outraged, and we've been that way for quite some time now. It almost feels like it's almost been a decade where everything is offensive, and there's a constant reminder of why you should know your place and know your role as whatever, if you're white, if you're male, if you're Christian, if you're middle class, you know, just one thing after the other. I think people are kind of getting over this idea of having to cancel people or, you know, affiliations just because of what someone else says.
I think, again, it goes to, it's a lot like Santa Claus. The outraged nation is a lot like Santa Claus. We all want to believe that it's there, but the facts just don't add up as you get older. Eventually you figure out that's mom and dad putting the stocking in your room, you know, and that it's physically impossible for a man with a clear obesity problem to get down the chimney. Or if you don't have a chimney, he still shows up.
At my house, Santa Claus, when we were discussing this with my kids, we had to, because they asked that, and we had to explain that we come up the back deck stairs and go in the back door. And then that made a little more sense to them.
Right. And then eventually your kids start giving Santa Claus too much credit. And then you, after one too many Christmas bourbons, blurt out, there is no Santa, it was me. So, or maybe I'm just speaking for my household. But the point is, it's the same thing. The outrage comes from the social media, mostly the Twitter gang. And when you look at statistically the numbers behind it, most Americans don't even tweet. Most Americans that do barely tweet. It's like less than 10%. But because we have CEOs and businesses who think, oh, no, if we don't fall to this, you know, because somebody gets 10,000 armed warriors to say they don't like something. So they get behind it. And it's the end thing to do to go after things and try to get somebody taken down. I usually, whenever I disagree with somebody or somebody gets mad at me on social media, I just jump in front and be like, let the boycotts begin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants to be boycotted, so forget him. He's not going to get it. You know, it's just, it's laughable. And I think more Americans are starting to realize, like, they'll step outside and be like, wait, the sun's up, the clouds are up. There's not real outrage. And this is one of the benefits of having a happy, free society with no war, no famine, no bubonic plague running around. Life is pretty good for the average American, and you have plenty of time to be outraged about things that really don't matter. And what somebody did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or even in some cases 2 weeks ago, really doesn't matter. And Trudeau, he put pain on his face. Have you done it again in 20 years? No, I think we're good.
I love it. Tyrus, thanks so much for joining us. Fox News contributor and host of Fox Nation's Nuff Said, which you can subscribe to at foxnation.com. You got anything exciting coming up for people who might be teetering on the decision whether or not to subscribe?
If you want to learn about the great Dana Perino, her interview dropped yesterday.
Yes, she's my favorite. You can tell her I said that. She won't know what you're talking about, but she's my favorite.
She 100% will. That's the good thing about Dana. or Miss Perino, as I like to say. But that interview dropped yesterday, and you learned a lot about her work ethic and how she was able to continue to grow, and a lot of good advice. I said I was being on her show was like sitting under a learning tree interviewing. You learn a lot. And anybody who's in entertainment needs to take the time to hear what she has to say, and hopefully it can help you continue to grow in your world.
Awesome. Well, Tyrus, we will definitely check it out on Fox Nation, especially Tyrus's show, Nuff Said. Always great to have you on here. Thanks for joining us again.
Sorry for cussing. Emotional.
No, you're good. You're good. Thanks, Tyrus. Right. Appreciate it. On Twitter, at Planet Tyrus. That's an interesting hit there from him.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Like he said, he gets emotional. Mm-hmm. He gets passionate.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm interested to see what
he's not a radio person. He doesn't have this trained filter to
Can you give us the Tyrus background that I would not be able to
realize it? Yes. We had to dump part of that live because he said a word that we can't broadcast. But that's just it. He's plain spoken. He's speaking to us like he would be talking to having a conversation with somebody on a street corner or sitting at a restaurant.
What's his back?
That's what I like.
I know
that's
what his background is, but I can't illustrate his background the way you can.
He is a former WWE. Well, he was a former bodyguard
For Snoop Dogg.
For Snoop Dogg, and then he hit national prominence when he was a WWE wrestler by the name of Brodus Clay. The Brodus Clay character.
Wait, are you saying it's not real?
The first time around, no. Brodus Clay is a character. And it was that character was played by Tyrus, and the Brodus Clay character evolved into, didn't start this way, but it evolved into he was a wrestling dancing dinosaur
called
the Funkosaurus.
Yeah. So if you've ever seen Tyrus on Fox News, you need to see the dancing Tyrus on.
He would be referred to as the only living Funkosaurus in captivity. And he came to the ring with two beautiful women that would dance with him. He was dancing the whole way, and they had a whole routine, and the girls would dance, and the girls were called the Funkodactyls.
Can't get better than that.
And we got him on our show. How do we do this? It's because we got Katie.
One day I want to ask him about the XFL because he worked for Vince McMahon. And so he has some insight there on how Vince McMahon's brain works and how he runs businesses. And we'd love to get his thoughts on, you know, if he thinks that the XFL will be a success this time around, if not through the sheer will and determination of Vince McMahon and his not wanting to fail.
You know, it's interesting. He also brought up Christmas, and my kids are already starting the process of what they're going to ask Santa Claus for, because in our house, we only allow them to ask.
In your house, Christmas starts in June.
We're halfway there. I mean, if you're not started yet, then what are you doing with your life? They get to ask Santa Claus for one gift, but they need to make sure that it is a gift that Santa Claus can bring, that Santa Claus can fit on the sleigh and get into the house. And it has to be something that they really want. They're allowed to ask him for whatever they want. It could be anything practical. It could be anything fun. But we were just talking the other day about what we were going to ask Santa Claus for. And then they write a letter. So I don't know if y'all have written your Santa Claus letters yet, but we're writing
in
our house.
I need to. I got to think of a good gift.
Tony needs to shape up and get on the other list.
Yeah, that's true.
I started thinking about Christmas after Thanksgiving.
when it's almost over.
When it's Christmas season.
When it's almost over. Get your Santa Claus letters written and share them with us. If you take, if your kids write Santa Claus or if your grandkids write letters to Santa Claus, take pictures of them and send them to the Facebook page. I would love to see them, to see what Santa Claus is bringing your kiddos, because I need some suggestions for my kids. See, help them, guide them along that process. They're running out of time. I mean, it's not even, it's almost October.
It's almost October.
And you got to write these letters. You want to get to the beginning of the line there, don't you? Don't you? Let's take some phone calls. Jason and Tom are holding on the line. We'll get to them when we come back. Also, we'll watch and see what Justin Trudeau has to say, because apparently he's got to speak on this issue. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Just got done talking with Tyrus, and we've been spending a lot of time today talking about Justin Trudeau and the latest person to get bit back by the blackface mistake that was made previously in your life. I mean, just think about for a moment how many mistakes you've probably made in your life that you don't even remember that you participated in. But if you're somebody who's, I don't know, how old is Trudeau? He's probably like in his mid-40s. He's, but he
looks young though.
Most.
Yeah.
He looks young.
But I mean, like, if you're
That's
somebody,
a great question. How old is he?
I bet, I'm guessing he's 46.
I'll know momentarily.
46.
38.
38? Mm-hmm. 38's not old enough to be responsible.
47.
Oh,
so close.
You nailed
it. He looks so young.
I know, my older man.
47 is very young, too.
Yeah. I was feeling.
He's also 6'2. It's a little taller than I thought he was.
Yeah. I'm just tired. I am exhausted by the outrage culture, and I think you are exhausted by the outrage culture. So I want to get to these two phone calls before we move on. Jason's been holding for a while. Thanks for calling the show, Jason.
Hi. I just had two quick comments about the topic. One, was Michael Jackson being insensitive or racist for, like, revoking his black skin? And
he was involved in an accident. I mean, like, he had some extenuating circumstances.
Well, he always claimed it was a skin condition, a disease. The weird thing about Michael Jackson, though, is the other people that have that disease, it's more blotchy than spread out through the whole, your whole body. So
I also wouldn't want to. I also wouldn't want to look at Michael Jackson as the barometer.
There's
of
a lot of weird things. I mean, Michael Jackson is a very extreme weird case, but he always said that was a skin condition that he had no control over. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But that was what he always said.
Yeah.
Okay. And I agree with you about blackface being more insensitive due to recent history, but I know it doesn't make me feel good or welcome when I see, like, a group of black people are yelling black power, and it just doesn't feel right when I see that.
Do you see that, Jason? Like, I mean, like, where do you see
that? Social media.
Yeah, but not, like, in real life.
And then,
unfortunately, I've seen it in real life. Protests. Well, I've seen in protests and things like that.
Was
the double standard just isn't the greatest thing.
But wait, what double standard? And I'm asking you because I'm really curious the difference between what we see on our TV screens, which in my opinion can be packaged in a way to tell a story, and what we observe in our real lives. I mean, do you have a double standard that you're experiencing in your day-to-day human-to-human contact life?
Not really. I don't work with too many people, but I know I wouldn't feel comfortable crossing the street to go talk to a bunch of black people that are yelling black power. I mean, as they wouldn't feel comfortable walking across the street to a group of white people yelling the same thing.
Right. White power. But, yeah, I would agree with that. Jason, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. I don't have that experience. I know a lot of people of a diverse background. I don't feel as though the barriers exist the way the TV screens
the
would
make
you think.
The media makes it sound worse than it is. The media would have you believe almost that, for example, I talk all the time about living in Florissant and living in North County and how much I love it. And a big part of that is because of how diverse the community is.
Yeah.
And so every time my family is grocery shopping or going to a restaurant or going to Target, there's a
diversity.
There's a very diverse group of people in those buildings, and we are never. Nobody is at odds. There's no racial tensions.
No,
there's,
you're going to buy deodorant and vitamins.
There's only neighborly head nods and people holding the door for each other. And you watch the news and you may think, especially if you don't live in a diverse community.
Sure.
That
of either side.
On either side, that
Science.
If all of a sudden you did find yourself in mixed company, that there might be some tensions. There's not. That is overblown, and they're trying to create that wedge. They're trying to,
and that's terrifying.
Those tensions. It's terrible. So that is your point, I think, Annie, is this doesn't happen in real life. But it does happen. It just doesn't happen at nearly the frequency that you would think it does on television. It's a fraction of a percent. But I still understand the idea of keeping it of if one's not good, the other shouldn't be good. They shouldn't be allowed either. At the same time, recognizing that there's a lot more historical context to blackface than there are painting your face any other ethnicity, any other color.
Hey, Tom, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Annie, great to talk to you guys.
You too, Tom.
One real quick thing historically. All white theater, no black actors, white actors, blackface. Same thing when it came along with the silent movies. They didn't think black people could act. So it wasn't all about making fun of black people. It was just the way society was at the time.
Sure.
Your last caller stole my thunder about the Michael Jackson thing, so I'll move to my next point. What do we say to people that lay out in the sun, get real dark tans, and then maybe make fun of somebody black? Are they in trouble too? Will they lose their job over that sort of thing?
I say that they're bad people. I mean, it's to me, like, you're not the first caller who's been like, well, what do we do about the people who blah blah blah? I don't think we need to do anything other than look at the intentions of the person. Chances are, if they're a jerk there, they're a jerk everywhere. And it needs
no matter what skin color, white face or black face.
Sure. And it needs to be about the intentions and the kindness of a person. And if they're not willing to show kindness, it doesn't matter what they do in life. Let that be returned to them in the way people choose not to associate with them. And if they are kind, then they'll, you know, gather more flies with honey than vinegar.
Hey, amen. Yeah, Mary Poppins. Okay. Now, the last thing I'd like to say, and I don't know what I don't think they have this in Canada, but they do have it in this country, and it's called writ of habeas corpus. You can't get in trouble for what you did when it was acceptable just because the rules, whether it's legally or societally, have changed since then. You can't just go back and, you know, since the rules have changed, you can't go back in the past and start chastising everybody for what they did back when it wasn't that big a deal.
Well, you know, I don't think that that's a criminal act, at least in the United States, to wear blackface, but that doesn't mean that you wouldn't be held to the societal consequences of those actions, I would say.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. You know, somebody did something back when it was acceptable. It may not be acceptable today, but you can't run the clock backwards and chastise them for it.
Tom, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate you holding on and talking to us. And, you know, I think it's a good, I'm kind of interested to hear what Justin Trudeau has to say about this, because I do think you need to be accountable for your actions, but I think there needs to be from our end of it, not from Justin Trudeau's end of it, or anybody who is, I guess, exposed for having done this before. Oh my gosh, there are so many things. The way people would talk in the 80s versus the 90s. The 90s, like, I've looked back on my own home videos and listened to the dialect of the way people talk. Like, you know how, like, when you watch, like, a movie from the 40s and there's this, like, very proper way of speaking, and you're like, nobody talks like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who talks like that? I have now looked back 30 years into some of my home videos and listen to people who are still in my life talk. They don't actually talk with the dialect, and there's almost like kind of a southernness to the way people who are in my life now speak. So our language does change over time. And if the words that we say in that language change over time, if we shift throughout the course of time to understand things and be more sensitive to other people, because we're, you can't listen. The reason why PC stuff stinks is because that means you're choosing to be sensitive to things because you're afraid of what would happen if you aren't. If you don't use the R word for something that you think is stupid because you have respect for that word retard and the way that it has been misused over the course of time, if you choose not to use that because you feel as though that word is, that's an inappropriate way to address something that you just don't like, then you're doing it out of respect. You're not choosing not to use that word because it's not PC to do it. You shouldn't disengage using that word because of political correctness. You should disengage using that word because it's the respectful thing to do. It shouldn't have anything to do with PC. It should do with intentions and kindness and a sensitivity towards other people, not a fear for what's going to come at you if you make the other decision. And that's where we have to get back into a place where we actually care as much about other people as we care as ourselves as individuals. Raising children in this world of social media and of selfies and comparing brand labels, which has been around forever, but now we're documenting everything. Mm-hmm. People on social media use their kids as props. They show their kids off. Everybody is pressed to do it. It's just like all one big humble brag. What are we doing to care about the other people in our lives? And like, if we actually started doing that, how much better would society be if we started not always putting ourselves first every single time? Maybe something to consider. I'll start with me on that one. 314-241-9797 if you want to join the show. I heard yesterday that they cut rates. Interesting to hear that the interest rates had been cut. What does that mean? I don't know what it means. That's why I have to have an expert come in here. Stewie Rosenblum from Stewart's American Mortgage, a great sponsor of the show, is going to come in and tell us what that means, and is that something that's good for you? Is that something bad for you? And he'll kind of lay it out there for us. He's a great expert on all things interest rates, and he's going to explain it to us here in just a minute. 314-241-9797. If you'd like to join the show, we will keep an eye on what Justin Trudeau has to say as he takes the podium. And don't forget, at 2:25, Dinesh D'Souza is going to join us. We're going to talk to him about the Kavanaugh impeachment suggestion and the Democrats running in 2020 on the idea of kicking Kavanaugh off the Supreme Court. So lots to come. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Justin Trudeau is addressing, I guess, Canada, as he is out to do. we're not gonna air an entire Justin Trudeau press conference probably ever, but we're gonna get the highlights and bring it back to you. And let you know what he said. It also says that there was potential, the third photo has been found now. So maybe you want to get all this out here all at once, rip the Band-Aid off, and take care of your house.
Stuff.
Eh? Anyway, let's talk about something a little more interesting than the topic du jour for the beginning of the show. I heard yesterday that the Fed cut rates, and I go, okay, what's that mean? So we have Stewie in here. Stewie with Stewart's American Mortgage joining the show now. Thanks for coming in.
How are you? You know,
you're an expert.
I don't want to go off on the tangent with the Federal Reserve, but isn't it weird that people get high positions and strength, positions of strength and power, and they're really doing well, and these things come up?
Mm-hmm.
What is with the sense in some people?
I don't know. I see these stories and I hear, you know, we talk to Stephen Moore every week, who's the chief economist at Heritage Foundation, and he's telling us about this could happen, that could happen. And, you know, one of the things he's been talking about is the Fed cutting rates. But I don't know that a lot of people really understand what happened. You do mortgages, you do refinances, you do the bagel loan for people at Stewart's American Mortgage. But when I hear that the Fed cuts rates, does that mean I should wait a while? I should get my mortgage refinanced right now? What should I do?
Well, when the Federal Reserve cuts the interest rates, what they're doing is they're cutting short-term rates.
Short-term rates.
Short-term rates.
So a mortgage is...
Mortgage is a long-term rate.
Not short-term.
Right. So what you have to watch out when the Federal Reserve does these things is what they say. So a 0.25% reduction in the rate just stirs up financial activity in our markets, makes the like car loans or home equity lines or credit card rates go down a little bit to encourage us to go out and spend money.
Okay.
It doesn't give an indication of what the long-term economy is going to be. Now, the long-term economy is based on unemployment, growth, and what the Federal Reserve said yesterday is, yes, we're going to cut it, but we don't anticipate, or we may not go ahead and cut it again for the rest of the year. So when they say that, they say the economy's not doing that bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's in pretty good shape. And you know what? We just want to give it a little bit of a nudge along.
Sure.
But things are going pretty well. That's going to cause interest rates to actually spike up, not go down.
Mm-hmm.
So people think just because the Federal Reserve is cutting those rates, that that is what is going to happen with long-term rates, and that's a wrong perception.
So when, so if I want to do a refinance and maybe pull some money out of my house, pay off some debt, or just lower my mortgage payment, if the economy is doing really well, that means that those rates are going to go up a little bit. So
the long-term rates are going to go up. So mortgage rates actually today, as you see the stock market is going up, are actually rising. So it's been up 0.25% in less 24 hours. And this is important because if you're in a position where you want to refinance, maybe consolidate debt, or you're buying a home, you better grab it while you can.
Right.
Because if the economy does turn around and we start doing much better, you know, keep in mind also we're going towards an election year. So we may see things stabilize and do better as just a general political environment. Then interest rates are going to be over the 4.5% and rise even further. So take advantage now. Of course, with the bagel loan, if rates do end up going down, you can refinance for free later if they drop for some reason or not. But
so
all the financial indicators say that things aren't as bad. The September numbers, unemployment numbers are where they thought it would be. The Federal Reserve is saying, hey, you know, we're gonna cut it, but we think things aren't as bad as what's going on over there. China seems to be calming down. The tariff wars are calming down.
I mean, the China trade deal it will have a significant impact on the economy. If the president were able to get something done with China by the end of the year, Stephen Moore said that the stock market's going to go over 30,000. He expects great things if that gets done. I would assume that would lift everything as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The trade war, along with the global effect on that trade war, is what caused the interest rates to go down recently. If that gets resolved, hey, we're on an economic locomotive, we can end up going right back up.
Mm-hmm.
So we have indication with recent reports that those trade wars have kind of calmed down. You know, China is willing to sit down a little bit, along with the Brexit thing kind of calming down. That's going to cause the interest rates to go up, not down. So take advantage now while you can.
How does Justin Trudeau's situation affect the global economy?
I'm not sure. Does Canada ever?
I don't know. Maybe this will actually have an impact on something. I don't know. The bagel loan is a really cool thing that you can only get at Stewart's American Mortgage. And the thing about this is what you just said, like if rates were to go down later, you could do this again, because one of the reasons a lot of people don't go to refinance is that it costs money to do it. It's the fees that you have to pay. It's like you're going to save this much money, but we're going to need you to bring this much money to closing. At Stewart's American Mortgage, you have the bagel loan, which is a bagel because it looks like a zero and there are zero fees. It doesn't cost you anything to lower your payment, to refinance, or maybe to pull some money out?
Not at all. Actually, yesterday we closed a pilot at American Airlines, a very nice gentleman, and he was skeptical the whole way through. He said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to stay here in my house that long, so to start paying fees to lower my payment, I'm never going to recoup the cost of those fees. He says, but I didn't believe it. And the whole way through, I was skeptical that something was wrong. Here I am at closing, everything's in writing, zero fees. It's a win-win situation for everybody.
Yeah, and you've been having a lot of great stories and success with 97.1 listeners specifically who have heard me talking about the bagel loan or heard you talking about the rates as they are right now and why now is a good time to get that mortgage if you're taking out a loan for $175,000 or more, or if you just want to refinance. It doesn't cost anybody anything to call you and say, Stewie, what can you do for me? And if you go through with the process, there are no fees to do it. I don't understand. Like, I've said this so many times to 97.1 listeners to the point where I'm in the middle of my refinance with you right now.
You know, people are kind of strange. If you tell them that they have to do something to save money, they're not as inclined. But if you tell them, hey, you know what? You're going to save $100 a month on your payment. You have to make the phone call. Oh, I'm saving $100 a month. I'm lazy. I don't want to do it. But if you tell them they have to pay an extra $100 a month, they'll go out of their way to make sure that doesn't happen. So you have to kind of incentivize yourself mm-hmm. and say, hey, this is real money over time. Pick up the phone, make the call, and you're going to see there's a possibility we can do something for you.
Yeah, so I'm in the middle of the refinance right now with the Bagel Loan and Stewie, and I'm going to give you a phone number right now that is the same number I call when I talk to Stewie because it's Stewie's cell phone number. So write this down. It's 314-324-4440. 314-324-4440, and just start the conversation. You're not going to lose any money if you call and say, this is what I want to do, and Stewie's going to tell you, and you're like, oh, maybe we'll do this later. Or maybe you'll be like, wow, I wish I would have done this 6 months ago or a year ago, or I wish I would have bought my house with you in the first place, but let's refinance and get that low rate locked in right now.
Today we close another 97.1 listener.
Yeah.
And a very sweet lady. She's at the doctor's office now. She told me she was going to be. And she said this was the easiest, quickest, cheapest, lowest rate refinance she's ever been through. She doesn't know why she didn't do it before.
Yeah. 314-324-4440. And just put yourself out there and see what Stewie can do for you. And you tell me you like the 97.1 listeners.
I love it because they're educated. They're smart. They ask the right questions. They're detail oriented and they like to see everything in writing. The best consumer that I have is the one that's educated. So give us a call and we'll go through everything with you.
Absolutely. Well, it's the Bagel Loan. Like I said, if you're going to refinance, there are no appraisal fees, no closing costs, no title fees, no broker fees. And you watch this Trump economy and see what the president is capable of. I would just get a call in right now and see what can be done. I don't know why you wouldn't want to save money. You're smart people. 314-324-4440. Are you allowed to text? Do you care if people text you?
They do all the time.
314-324-4440. Text Stewie and say hi. And how can you save me money? You're saving me money right now. Stewie, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Google that Bagel Loan, and you can learn more about it there as well. I'm doing it. Why aren't you? Let's get it done. And when we come back, we're going to speak with Dinesh D'Souza at 2:25. Take some more phone calls and see what Justin Trudeau has to say. We'll be right back.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.